Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveVick.com. And a little bit of an ooky morning here again after yesterday. And yesterday actually worked out okay. The rain, there was a little bit of smattering, but it, for the most part, stayed away. And I, you know, we got some overnight. In fact, we were, I say we, I was in Saratoga at the end of the day yesterday, and we celebrated Josephine Siaka, her birthday, and Gary and Joe and Bobby and Bobby's girlfriend up here. And that was fun. We were at Osteria Danny. And it's funny, Gary, every summer there's like a bunch of milestones. There's Josephine's birthday, then there's Bobby's birthday, and then Gary and Josephine were married, I think September 2nd. So almost every year, for years, their anniversary dinner would be at Ciro's. And it's just funny. They got almost all the family functions come during the Saratoga season. Well, we're ready to kind of wade right back into the second weekend of the meet. The Saturday card was drawn, and the two features, not big full fields, and this has been a little bit of a theme so far, but some nice horses, and particularly for the Vanderbilt, where there's really the presence of Volatile in here off that Aristides win. It's quite imposing, and there's not what's interesting about without Imperial Hint for the first time in, I don't know, what feels like 3 or 4 years, there's not a breakaway, open mouth need the lead in here. There's no Private Zones or Imperial Hints or the type of go sprinters. Now the interesting part of Volatile is he might be just as fast as he needs to be, and he's fast from from pillar to post. He's also done something you won't see, I don't think, too often. For those that have the PPs close, take a look at this. It's pretty, I can't, top of my head, I don't, and I haven't necessarily looked for it either, but he's run at three different racetracks, three starts at Churchill, one at Oaklawn, one at Ellis. Debuted at Ellis, then pair at Churchill, then off from November to April, came back in April at Oaklawn, and then wins the Aristides back at Churchill. He's run 6 furlongs every start. His debut, which he won at Ellis, stopped the clock in 1:10.4. His second start, where he got beat, Bourbon Calling beat him. And he was a little slower into stride than he subsequently has been. But after going 1:10.4, he then must have gone in, call it 109 and four, probably. 109 and three and change. So a little faster. Then in his third start, the allowance win, he went in 109 flat. Then he comes back as a four-year-old, goes in 108 and two in the allowance win at Oaklawn when it won off by seven. And then in the Aristides, he goes in 107 and two. Every subsequent start from debut through the Aristides win, he has gone faster. If he goes faster, it seems fairly improbable that he's going faster than 107 and 2 on Saturday. If he does that, he'll break Imperial Hint's track record. Last year, right? 107 and 4, Imperial Hint. But 108, is that a reasonable number? I put that in the props. You know, Pat Cummings invited me to do the prop contest, and so I came up with 10, and one of them involves volatile and the time. And that's one of the reasons that it sort of caught my eye. I don't know if I've ever seen that. And on the buyer scale, he's gone 81, 83, 94, 101, 112. Turn to Thoroughgraph too, from every measure. I'll look at the time form next. On Thoroughgraph, a 6.25, then he paired up a 6.25, then moved to a 3.5, then to a negative 2.25, and then a negative 5.25 7 weeks ago. And so people are going to say, well, he's going to probably regress. Okay. Didn't we hear that? That's the same thing we heard about Vekoma, right? Vekoma's big effort in the Carter. Oh, he's going to regress. Okay, yeah, he regressed and still won the Met. Volatile. I mean, and there are Firenze Fire, who's been consistent and got himself looking at numbers down to a 2.5, a negative 2.5 on Thoroughgraph. Whitmore runs negative zeros, negative half, negative 1.5. Has run as fast as a negative 2. Lexingtonian, a little slower. Mind Control has run as fast as a negative 2.5 himself. If Volatile comes back to Earth, Mind Control and Firenze Fire and Whitmore are competitive with him. And Lexingtonian, who's never run a triple digit fig. And, interestingly, as good as Mind Control has been, 7 for 13 in his career, he's never broken the triple-digit mark on the buyer scale. Career best of 99 in that Tom Fool win back in March before things spun off their axis. Now, Mind Control, you have to remind everybody. Between the hopeful, he's already run impressive grade one wins at 2 and 3 on this track. You're right. It won the hopeful. He's a grade one winner at Saratoga as a two-year-old. Then last year in the Alan Jerkins, an absolute thriller over Hot Greek Hustle. And now he comes back at the age of 4 with a chance. And he's also 2 for 2 at 3/4. The case could be made. Case actually could be made, even though he's got the wins at 7/8. It might be as good. The weird thing here is, as mentioned, there isn't a horse that's got a bunch of ones on his running line. But from a pace figuring standpoint, Volatile definitely, from that stand, is the fastest. Whitmore, surprisingly, I'm looking at the race shape, and Whitmore actually has got more speed and the ability to stay close. Rosario rode him in the Phoenix. I'm just looking back on the works that are on the page. And I tell you, Whitmore worked very well since April. Had a couple of easy works, but punctuated by some sharp efforts, including a Churchill Memorial Day spin, second best of 88. Came back at Keeneland, July 5th, 46-3, best of 34. So, and he's one for one, of course, at Saratoga himself. Very interesting Vanderbilt headline by this violence cult that is just, you know, really blown the doors off. It's got combined wins of 15 plus lengths as a 4-year-old. There's also a comment. How many times on the running line do you see a comment? Explosive turn of foot. Yeah, there you go. It's kind of turning into one of those horses where at some point you'll hear Steve Asmussen say, we're not sure how we got beat in that second start. It's pretty impressive. So the Hillendale bred violence colt that Phoenix Thoroughbreds and Three Chimneys, they paid $850,000 and increasingly, you know why. So the Vanderbilt, one of the two graded stakes on Saturday at Saratoga. Sister Charlie returns too. Actually saw Chad last night at he was at Danny's. Sister Charlie comes back in here, and the Ballston Spa again, 5 in here, and 1 MTO. But Sister Charlie and the mile and a 16th. I mean, she's only run it once, and that was in the Jenny Wiley 2 years ago. Yeah, she's gone, you know, much longer since, longer and much longer. So that's the one aspect of this that if, you know, if people are going to try to, you know, take a stand against Sister Charlie, and Starship Jubilee shows up from Woodbine. And she what an amazing story. Just unbelievable. We talked to Kevin Attard, you know, a couple of different times last year as she was just marauding around. It's made $1.5 million. Incredible. Incredible. So that's the top of the matchup, obviously, and Chris Clement, Call Me Love, steps up a little bit, say the least. But the headliners here are Starship Jubilee, who, you know, figures to be up on the front end. Chad's got North Broadway in here as well, though, for Peter Brandt, and it'll be interesting to see how she's employed. I mean, the potential, I suppose, is for her to, you know, act as a prompter and to harass Starship Jubilee. But Starship Jubilee does not, if somebody wants to go, or if somebody, you know, is going to, you know, try to press her, she doesn't have to have the lead at all. She's proven that repeatedly. So, the Ballston Spa, one of my favorites too. So anyway, that's and then there's plenty of good other action on Saturday. No, interestingly, I just noticed, because I went looking for a maiden 2-year-old, and there wasn't one on Saturday, which is a little unusual, but that's fine. No, there's plenty of time for the babies. Let's get a quick lay of the land too. Tell you what's going on. Sean Clancy is going to join us, and boy, he may be. You may get Sean Clancy like you've never seen him before. Sean was making me laugh this morning, and so he may be in a whimsical frame of mind. Things did not go great yesterday for his city dreamer in the Jonathan Kaiser, and jumped a few, and then Mitchell had to steer him off the course, and we'll find out if he's okay. Saddle had slipped, and you know, that kind of thing. So, snap decision, very much, and you know, 2-5 essentially for Jack Fisher. Shepherd's Galway Kid ran very well, and also Leslie Young bodes well at a big price, 31-1. Had a nice third here. And had to be thrilled with that effort, beating just a couple of lengths after, you know, essentially, you know, doing all the heavy lifting on the front end. So a good kickoff to the season, and we'll get Sean's thoughts about today's AP Smithwick that kicks off the first of the two grade ones over the fences. The rest of the action, cross border at a very short and obvious price, easily. In the Lubash, that was no surprise for the Wyckoffs and Mike Maker. You had, that horse of Clement. Clement's just hitting it on the screws right now. Everything's just working. And the Generazio that we talked about, Maxwell Esquire with him, as good as advertised, coming back here. And Maxwell Esquire, you know, out of that Surcat. This is a nice, this is clearly, you know, another nice New York bred for the Generazios. Won the allowance. That got everybody to what they assumed was going to be, you know, a very chalky pick five. And, you know, or a modest pick five, considering, you know, the fact that, you know, the inclusion of the Lubash was going to make it a fairly easy on paper pick four, or at least, you know, approaching it that way. And that's not how it happened, though. How about Manifest Destiny and Eric Cancel with a terrific ride, and very happy for Bill Youngins. And Youngins was an assistant of Paracella's, trainer of the stars, John Paracella. And very pleased for Youngins to win. He owns this horse. And Barry Ostrager had bred this City Zip 6-year-old. And Eric Cancel, if you didn't hear Eric Cancel after the race, there's 45-1, a 92.50 payout, and it juiced the pick five up to 5,900, 5,904. Yeah, and Cancel explained, and if you look back on the PPs, it first of all was inside, and so saved ground and was up close, and what Cancel said that was interesting was how he wanted to keep the one of those horses that needs to be involved and not, you know, come from too far out of it. And frankly, you know, certainly the racetrack is leading everybody to think you can't be too far out of it. But, you know, as the expression goes, gets brave, you know, gets brave on the lead. And that seems to, you know, tell you a little bit about this horse. This was just going back too. You try to go back and say, "What, you know, did I miss something?" No, you didn't miss anything. Youngins claimed this horse back, however, and you know that's one of those things that you can say that, you know, somebody that knows a horse and knows, you know, if it gets taken away, you know, the opportunity to claim it back at half the price. Youngins had Manifest Destiny taken at Belmont last June. for $25,000, and then Rudy had the gelding, City Zip gelding, you know, for a year. Did get one win. State bred 25 claimer. Got one win, but really, you know, after that, it kind of went sideways. Ran okay in another state bred 25 claimer. And was offered up in a winning spot at Aqueduct in February for 12.5, and Youngins took him back. So, a big price winner. Congratulations to Youngins. And so, of course, because of the jump race, the anchor leg of the early pick five was the kickoff to the late pick five, and you had not just the $90 winner. How about the $22 winner, Crescent Lady? Nice job by Junior Alvarado. Bill Mott at 10-1. And corrals kept waiting. And there were a number of people I know that liked kept waiting, thought this was the right spot. Then there was Colonel Liam. And I know some clever people were waiting for Colonel Liam to make his way to the grass in that allowance. And, you know, a lot was made pre-race about second dam Wonder Again, the wonderful Wonder Again of the Phillips family and Jimmy Toner's. Colonel Liam, Todd Pletcher, and Bob and Luana Lowe, congratulations to them. They've had some consistently nice horses of late. And Colonel Liam looks like he's got a nice future. Beats Elders in that allowance and paid $1,960. So a $100 horse, essentially, a 90-plus horse, and then a $22 horse, a $19 horse. Singular Sensation, nice win for Parsons and Howe. Hennig clients. And a mine shaft that might be moving forward again. Mark thinks highly of this mineshaft filly, and she had flashed some real talent last summer. Second, and just got beat by Radikowski at Saratoga. So then the nightcap offered all kinds of craziness. The pick five, there was 400,000, the five horses people were alive to for 400,000, and then there were a handful. About half that, 200, you know, half that amount. And that's what came through. 15-1, Manny Petty, who Nick Tamaro with Manny Petty was Nick's second choice in here yesterday. And I know a couple of people I saw on Derby Trail said they looked a couple more times. And the Zevo filly. And one of the nice parts about this, in fact, Andy talked about it, Tom Coleman, who's been around the game a lot. Zevo was his, and this was, there was speculation. I forgot to go back and check if it was Zevo's first winner, but, you know, Zevo, very nice for Chad Brown, and a horse that actually came back from some serious health issues, that he had that neck problem, and really kind of nice. And so congratulations to Tom Coleman. He's been partners with, you know, a lot of the Chad clients, right? I think Peter Bradley and that contingent, our friend Steve Lehman and so forth. Loves the game, and nice to see him get rewarded. And the people that found Manny Petty at the end of their multis, You did okay. There was a chance for the jackpot to go down as well, actually. There were, I think, four or five horses that would have taken down the Empire Six prematurely. There's about a quarter of a million in that after six cards. So a fun day with some fireworks all over the tote board. Good way to start the week, right? And then today we come right back. Let's get Clancy in here, Case, and we'll start with Sean. Brian Skirka is going to visit. I want to go reach out to Brian at Monmouth. Monmouth has got their one of their big contests of the year. Of course, Monmouth very strong when it comes to the NHC and BCBC qualification, and they've got a pick your prize monster this weekend. You can play on ExpressBet and TVG. So we'll get Brian in here, and he'll give you the details. $2,000 buy-in, $1,000 to the prize pool. Every cent gets paid that out of that $1,000, and then $1,000 for a bankroll. So we'll go through that. We'll go through the rules and what's going to be available. There's a bunch of NHC seats, BC seats, and cash. So Brian Skirka. Dick Powell's going to swing in. We'll do our closeout of the 2021 HKJC season. And a couple of other things, including the King George, where there's going to be three Coolmores ganging up on an Able. That after the declarations today, I guess, Japan, Anthony Van Dyke, and Sovereign versus Enable Saturday in the King George. So we'll see what Dick thinks about that. And we'll do some other, you know, get a little early Saratoga. They drew the first card for opening day at Presque Isle on Monday. They're ready for... after the very delayed start to their season. So then, of course, Tony and Steve Askin and Rich Eng. And right now, we welcome back Saratoga Specials, Sean Clancy, who this morning did about 10 minutes of stand-up for me, personal. It was like you were auditioning for Yuck Yucks. Good morning.
I might need a new job, so what the heck, right? We got to try something.
I thought that Galway Kid was the River D, but it turns out that that was the Shepherd, and so you boxed my ears pretty good about your horse who had a little saddle issue.
Yeah, exactly. I get a text from my great friend Steve, and it says, "Great effort yesterday. Congratulations." And I thought to myself, wow, I wish he was a partner in this horse that jumped four fences, the saddle went up his neck, and pulled up. I thought, man, he's happy with that effort. This guy's going to be easy to please.
I don't know why.
Maybe your finger on the pulse, I know.
Galway Kid just felt like a horse that a Clancy would be involved in.
It should, right, exactly. I wish I owned him. Nice horse.
Too funny. We got a million things to talk about with you, including today's race, and you're involved again. And you know, maybe you were just maybe River D was just saving the big effort for the Grade One.
Yeah, I'm hoping all our bad luck was used up yesterday. Jibber Farrow runs in AP Smithwick. You know, tough race. You got to take on Optimus Prime, Moscato. Very established Grade One type horses. Jibber Farrow tries hard every time, gets a big weight shift, which I like. You know, and he's got a chance. I mean, he's not he's 10-1 for a reason, but he always runs his race. Been a lovely horse to own and be a part of. So hopefully he'll run well again.
And he likes it here seemingly well enough, too. He's gotten over some yielding that last year in the Turf Riders when he was chasing Winston Seahome.
Yeah, exactly. He was fourth in the AP Smithwick last year, came back, finished second in the Turf Riders. You know, he's an interesting horse. He's very, very versatile. A lot of our horses either like hunt meets or like the track, or at least will run, you know, have one they prefer. He doesn't seem to mind. Just shows up, runs his race every time. So I like that he had a race in the David Sims in June, finished fourth. You look back, he carried 158 pounds that day. He gave Snap Decision 8 pounds in that race. Snap Decision obviously came back and won the novice race yesterday. I think Snap Decision would win this race. So, you know, he's the barometer of our sport. I know he's just a novice, but he's an absolute star. So, you know, we could be 5.5 lengths behind Snap Decision, giving him 8 pounds. That race should help us. Of course, Chief Justice and Radishian were in there and beat us. So, good competitive race today.
couple of thoughts about the rest of this group, and you mentioned Optimus Prime, who comes in and packs on some weight. Gallo wasn't afraid to give him a serious assignment, and you know he's been away, you know, calendar year. Not that that's unusual in these quarters.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to take on Optimus Prime. I mean, he's obviously on paper a better horse than Jim Befaro, but he's done very little wrong, and he's run four times over jumps over hurdles here, won three out of four. But yeah, he's been away a long time. He didn't get a flat race. I mean, these horses that have been off a long time, you might be able to get a prep at Parks. Used to run kind of a training flat race for the jumpers, or you'd at least have a prep. I'm sure Ricky would prefer if he had some kind of flat prep. Having said that, he's the talented horse, loves the racetrack. You look what he did before. He's a good horse. Obviously, this is a good time to take him on because he's coming off a year layoff. So if he has a chink in his armor, maybe it's the layoff.
The mare in here, and of course we were all on hand at Far Hills for Prava Laguna's performance in the Pete Pack, and Willie Mullins brought her over, now eight, and Jack Fisher handling. Some thoughts about her presence in here, because she was really one of the big storylines going into Far Hills last year.
Yeah, I mean, she's a solid man. I mean, better than solid. She's a star. I mean, she's what she did in Europe. You would rarely see a mare of her caliber come over here. Bruton Street is just, big owner here. They owned her over there. So that's the only reason she's here. I mean, she would, if anybody else owned her in Ireland, she would have been unbuyable. But they're American-based, wanted to bring her over here and run her here. Obviously dominated the race at Far Hills, which she should have. Same thing, coming off a layoff, hasn't run since October. There's a filly and mare stake at Colonial Downs, which is obviously her main target. Same thing, she needed a race. I'm sure Jack is looking to just give her, get her prep. I mean, having said that, I mean, she's live in here for sure. I mean, solid, good mare. She won 6 out of 21. She competed against the best over there. Another solid horse in a solid race.
Moscato came back and won the Temple Guathmi to start the season. Now a 9-year-old, and got to respect Moscato's presence in here. How about also? I should mention Leslie Young, who just seems to do nothing but send out live horses.
I mean, Moscato is obviously one of the horses to beat. I mean, same thing. I think he's somewhat better suited to the hunt meets than maybe the major tracks. Having said that, he won both starts. I mean, he won at Saratoga and Belmont in 2017. But he's 9 years old now. Big kind of galloping horse. Stays 3 miles. Won the Guathmi going 2.5. If he's vulnerable, it's 2 1/16 on a firm track, tight turns at Saratoga. If he's vulnerable, he's a good horse. Same thing. He's the horse to beat for sure. Jack Fisher, Mikey Mitchell, they've done very little wrong this year. Good horse. And Radician, Leslie Young's horse, 15-1 on the morning line. That's enticing for sure. His Jonathan Kaiser last year, I mean, that was one of the most visually impressive races I'd seen for a long time. I mean, he's got a turn of foot. He's really like a flat horse. He's quick, loves that kind of ground, loves the tight turns, flat track. He's a decent horse on the flat in England. He's had a run. He ran in the race at Great Meadow with Chief Justice and Jim Befaro. So very live, carries 144. Nice horse.
A.P. Smithwick, the first of the two grade ones at Saratoga. And, Sean, how challenging has it been? You mentioned mirthfully about, being a content owner. This has been particularly tough. The entire spring calendar essentially was tabled because of the pandemic, and there's even plenty of uncertainty for the fall, and the inability to get large groups of people together, I mean, it is going to seemingly hamstring the purse funding, and then there's the whole charitable portion of the equation. Some thoughts about how everybody has kind of managed through it and are obviously delighted to get these opportunities. The two meets in Virginia, Saratoga, Colonial starts Monday, and then, we're kind of uncertain for the fall.
Oh, it's been tough, and as I've said all along, these are first world problems. You're talking about your racing stable, and while there's crises around the world, health crises, people are far worse off than some of us steeplechase owners and trainers who and fans and jockeys who haven't been able to ply our trade and enjoy the sport that we've always enjoyed. I mean, that's the first thing you have to remember. But as far as the sport goes, it's just been it's been devastating this year. I mean, I had, and I'm not alone. I mean, I think anybody owns horses this year. I had 8 horses ready to run over fences this spring. And a guy called me up and wanted me to buy another horse. And I said, buddy, I have 8 horses in training with nowhere to run. I said, the only thing worse than having 8 horses in training with nowhere to run? He said, what? I said, having 9. I said, I don't want to buy enough. Now, having said that, I have, my partners, I didn't have one partner that called, panicked, disappointed for sure, upset about it. But, I didn't have anybody say, I got to get out. We got to do something. We got to sell this horse. What are we going to do? I'm very loyal owners to understand the predicament we're in. And as far as Saratoga, we're just grateful, lucky, and feel privileged to be able to come up there and have some races. These two grade ones, I think they will be the only two grade ones for the rest of the year. I don't see anything. I think the fall is very much in jeopardy. And I think this pandemic has made you think about your business structure, your ability to adjust to, how you adapt to a crisis. And steeplechasing's business model has always been, it's been a fascinating model in the world of thoroughbred racing, because we don't count on betting handle. I mean, we count on attendance. We count on people walking through the gate, buying tailgates, sponsors, reserving a big tent and entertaining their clients and partners and friends. And it always seemed like a great business model because it was so different. I mean, we're not counting on betting handle. We're really counting on the experience and a day out in the country. And we've always been very proud of that. But this year, obviously, that business model is in peril, because you can't have those crowds. Obviously, we all know what's going on. So I recognized it very early. I was at Cheltenham March 7th to March 14th. It was declared a pandemic while I was over there. And I realized very quickly that life was going to be very different. And over there, they were quickly preparing to have racing behind closed doors without fans. And that made sense for them, and it makes sense for flat racing, because you can generate that betting handle. And I had friends of mine over there say, well, you can just run races without fans, you'll be all right. And I said, well, there's no revenue to be generated. The only revenue is generated through attendance, through people coming in. So, and then, obviously, it's a charitable sport. I mean, the juggernaut that Far Hills has become, and they've donated just millions of dollars to the local healthcare system, and all that's in jeopardy. And it's a scary time for steeplechasing, for sure. I mean, I think it's very it's precarious, and this type of disruption could be devastating to it, really. And I'm pretty positive and upbeat. I just find it very it's very alarming where we are as a sport.
I have not. I'll at some point, probably as we get into the early part of the fall, because it has been a changing landscape, or the pulse that Guy Torsiglieri's had. You mentioned Far Hills. He's in constant contact with Trenton and Governor Murphy, and what is just potentially I mean, heart-wrenching. The guy has been working 10 years toward this running, which is the 100th meeting of Far Hills. And he's put literally a decade of planning and you know, the engineering of the purse structure to, you know, try to get to seven figures. And, I mean, the thought that you know, this just, you know, bizarre scenario would you know, just counter, you know, the, you know, all the good intentions is just it's tough to swallow. But everybody, you know, everybody's dealing and everybody's doing their best. Separately from the Chase side, Sean, obviously for you and for brother Joe and for Tom Law and the Saratoga special, you knew, you know, fairly early on that, you know, there wasn't going to be the normal, you know, nightly impossible task 39 times that producing the paper and distributing it at Saratoga, but you've persevered on that front as well. It's very disappointing probably for young interns that were undoubtedly excited about, you know, working for you guys and having their opportunity to, you know, break into the game that way, working for the special.
No, exactly. I mean, we're like everybody else. It's just been 2020. It's just been a complete complete disruption. I mean, everything you did, everything you put your heart and soul in has been disrupted. And again, you know, we're lucky we have our health, and so far we've been able to weather the storm. But yeah, we go from doing four or five newspapers a week to doing two. We're doing Wednesdays and Saturdays, digital only. And, yeah, the whole vibe of, you know, that Saratoga special, getting in the golf cart and touring around the backstretch and handing out papers and getting quotes and writing stories and, you know, getting kids a chance to understand and enjoy the sport, you know, and all those great, I mean, they just, you know, Saratoga, you just, it's all those great moments, those memories, those, you know, you know, you realize that none or very little of that's going to happen this year. And I wrote it in I guess was the first cup of coffee column I wrote. And, you know, as you get older, I mean, I turned 50 this year, and you have a very different perspective on life and certainly on Saratoga and those types of things that have defined your life, and you realize they're not infinite. I mean, it's a finite, finite summers at Saratoga, and it hits you. You know, you just, and I think this year it's just those great traditions. I look back at my life. I've gone to the Iroquois steeplechase pretty much every the second Saturday in May. I mean, pretty much my whole life, and Fair Hill on Memorial Day. I've pretty much gone there every Memorial Day weekend for my whole life, and then you know, Saratoga. I missed opening day this year. It's the first opening day I missed since. I've been there every summer since 1989. So maybe 88, 87. I don't know, and I probably was there then. I mean, it's such a different perspective on life, and it's a cliche, but you do have to try to appreciate every day and really make them count, because this year has taught us again. Maybe it hadn't taught us, but it's reminded us again. It's what we do with it, whether we change our style or change our approach or try to appreciate life more than maybe it has taught us that. But if we go on and continue to miss those moments or not appreciate it, then you know, it's a double loss. We've lost a lot of traditions and a lot of great moments this year, and you hope you learn from it. You hope you just go toward, you know, next year. I hope I appreciate Saratoga more than I ever have. I mean, I'll probably get there this year. I'll probably come up for a few days, I hope. You know, it's that great old line. I use it all the time, but you know, these are the good old days, and you got to remember that, because then, you know, there'll be a time when you look back and think, oh, those are the good old days at Saratoga. Well, these are the good old days, so you really need to appreciate it and try to enjoy them for everything everything you can.
Well, and of course, your opening salvos kind of set the tone, and it provides a certain touchstone for all the people that, you know, look forward to coming, whether it's for one day out of the 40, or whether it's for the whole meet, whether it's for weekends or weeks. There's such a continuity to coming here on an annual basis. And I started myself, for a day here, a day there. And then when I lived in Montreal, started coming, almost every weekend. My buddy Phil would come up from Jersey and I'd come down from Montreal. And then when I moved to the area, it became, 40 days. And then when I started working on the track with the barbecue, that actually also provided that understanding. I would see the same people, on the same weekends, year after year. And those gatherings become, part of just the movable feast we refer to about the game, because that's just as true as you mentioned, going to Iroquois and Nashville. And you go to, any big Saturday at any racetrack, A, B, or C track, any of their big days, and there's certain people that just have rituals of coming, and that disruption really, I think, is what's leaving people so kind of saddened and kind of downcast. I mean, I think that that part of it is really palpable.
No, for sure. I mean, it's just, I think emotionally it's just been devastating to people, where you don't, you're not able to keep those traditions, enjoy those times. And, I look back at my life, I was going there with my dad, and then, then riding races there, and then starting this special with my brother, and all the friends and family and people that have come up there. I mean, just those moments, those little funny, unbelievable moments at Saratoga. I mean, everybody's got them, and they're all very different. They're different and the same, because it's all about the connections and the camaraderie and the we share the passion for the sport, and we're able to come there and share the passion, share our passion for the sport with other people who are sharing their passion, and you wind up with this just this incredible incredible place, this connecting place, some days it feels like a cauldron, but it's much more like a haven, where you come there and enjoy moments, good beats, bad beats, late nights, early mornings, those people want, you watch like Robbie Davis and his family win a race at Saratoga. I mean, you just see the joy and the elation that it takes, because they're working so hard, and they get those moments. And, we've all had them, and we all had those just incredible moments. I mean, look, I got my wife's phone number at Saratoga, front row box in 1989. I mean, I was 19, and we were at the races, and went to the steeplechase party, and I kind of met her and talked to her. I mean, I, finally worked up my nerve to ask her for my phone number, and she wrote her phone number on the, ripped a piece of program, one of the pages out of the program, and wrote her phone number on it. And, we got married 17 years later, and I'm not alone. I mean, those are the moments. Maybe Jason Blewett wrote a postcard today, about from Gulfstream. It's called A Postcard to Saratoga, in yesterday's special. And he said the same thing, met his wife at Saratoga. And, so beyond just the horses and the moments that, the racing side of it, you think of the friends and the families that, that actually were started there. And, it's just, it's a complete one-off Saratoga. I mean, it's just in all of us, it's ingrained in the marrow of your bones. that Saratoga. There's just all of those moments, good, bad, funny, lighthearted, comical breakdowns. I mean, I've had my biggest, worst moments. I mean, I've got Hodges Bay up there three times. He was 2-5 every time. 1993, he was a millionaire on the flat for Mike and Iris Freeman, who are two of my greatest supporters. They put me on the horse. I got him beat three times. I mean, terrible rides. I'd never won a race at Saratoga. And I remember the last time I went to, I sat in Boston Market, you know, the Boston Market chicken place with like the mashed potatoes. And I sat in there and ate this horrible big chicken mashed potatoes dinner. And I mean, I was so down. I didn't think my life could get any worse. I mean, I was just at my absolute low. And then the next year I came back and won three. And, you know, 5 years later you win the Turf Riders. And, you know, it just teaches you about life, you know, just the highs and lows and how to deal with them and weather the storm. You know, it's just a complete one off the place. And this year, you almost in a way, it does make you kind of appreciate even more the beauty and the passion and the vibe and the atmosphere and those great moments with your friends, with your family, with the sport, you know, that we just adore. And then obviously the horses, with the horses, that's really the most important part.
John Clancy is with us, and you can twice a week continue to enjoy the Saratoga special and all the things that made it such a wonderful addition to the scene. And in fact, John's recent piece that acknowledged the 20 years that it's been going on, and you seemed as shocked and awed by that as anybody would be.
It's crazy to think back, right? I mean, it's when you stop and look back, it's 20 years, and some of it feels like, some of it feels like more than 20 years, and another part of it, you just feel like it was yesterday when you're up there and watching Joe's kids grow up and watching our interns. I mean, my God, it's just to see them, start to see Gabby Gaudette come walk in our office the first day and be this timid, kind of not sure of herself, wondering if she even wants to work in the sport or what she's going to do with her life, and to see her go do what she's doing. Travis Stone, he wasn't timid the first day. He was confident, good, hardworking kid. To see him do what he's done, and one after another. I mean, they're just the tip of the iceberg of the interns that came through there. And that hit me a little this year. It's like, okay, what happens to this year's Saratoga special interns? What happens to them? You know, do they go do something else? I mean, if this was the year that Gabby Gaudette was supposed to work at the special, and or Travis Stone, and they couldn't work at the special, what would they have done? I mean, would they just have gone and got a job? I mean, they sent me resumes. I can only imagine what their resume said. I mean, they were their other choice that summer was, I don't know. I mean, Travis was like going to auctioneer school, and Gabby was doing like design or something, like advertising, graphic design or something. I don't know. But yeah, you wonder, wow, what would they have, would their life have just been completely changed if they weren't able to go to Saratoga, And I'm probably overdoing it, but it is, I think, this year. I mean, we've had so much time to be reflective, way too much time. I mean, you have time on your hands, and it's not a lot to do, and you think of that stuff, so. So, Steve, you got me all emotional here this morning. I was much funnier, right, earlier when I was, slapsticking on text, So I do have to tell, and I threw this out there when on the text. So the Steve and I at Saratoga, he comes in my office, and he wants to design an ad for his friend Gary Siaka. I'm like, great, perfect. So Steve comes in, and he comes in my office, and we design the ad, and we talk about it, and we make a deal and shake hands on the deal, which back when you could shake hands with people. And Steve walks out, goes to the track. It's great, right? So I'm there, and I got my day set. I'm like down to the minute, and I got to go cover the stake, and I go to leave and lock the office. Can't find my keys. I'm looking and looking. I can't find my keys anywhere. I'm like, I know I put them. I put them in the same place every day, right at the end of my desk. I'm like, where are my keys? I'm scouring the place. I'm freaking out. I'm the stakes about to run. I'm running around the office. Nobody's there. I can't find. I finally stop and think, and I'm like, Steve was, damn, there's no way. What, he picked up my keys? So I called Steve. I said, you don't have any chance you got my keys? Why would I have your keys? What are you talking about? You're drunk. You must have lost your keys at the party glass. What are you talking? I said, I know it sounds crazy, but they were on my desk. Like, could you just look? Maybe just take a look. And I hear this clanging around, and then it's, yeah, I have your keys. My man has come to the office. We got a bad deal, and he walks up and he takes my keys with him. Like, he just goes to the track with my keys in his pocket. Anyway, that was a fun Saratoga moment.
I had forgotten about that, and you were like, I got a million things to do. What am I? And I,
yeah, no, you and know. your disdain. Like, why would I have your keys? What's wrong with you? And then I said, can you just take a look?
Take a peek.
Just take a look.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, here they are.
How about that? I don't know. Who knows? I just, you know, the tendency.
Right?
When you leave, you know, oh, my God, who knows why I picked them up? It's very funny. I forgot about it. It's
a great Saratoga moments.
Unbelievable. Well, Sean, we will check in periodically. Any quick, early revelation? Anything that you've been watching that, kind of grabbed you already? First few days.
The sheer weight of watching Saratoga without fans, just seeing it. It's just, I mean, and I know Nivers doing the best they could. I think they had a bad decision or worse decision on whether to run there or stay at Belmont. And it's just devastating to sit at, I haven't been up there yet. I'm at home watching it, and you just see that empty picnic area and empty paddock and empty grandstand. And it's just devastating to see, the place, without that. And I would say it's just the vibe, the atmosphere. I mean, that's what Saratoga's about, to see it without that. It's just, it's very... It just shakes you a little, you're just like, again, first world problems. We're talking about horse racing, not people's health, but I find that so disconcerting. It's just devastating to watch.
I'm going to pull Olympia Dukakis on you here. Loretta, snap out of it.
there's been some great, there's been some good races so far. There'll be some better races. I just find it hard to watch it, just to see it in such a strange form,
Well, get up here and put miles in the golf cart and start driving around. That's going to make things much more normal.
Well, what's it like for you? You're there. I mean, is it better or worse than you expected?
You have to ask. I was this far, and then now I'm gonna do Jack Nicholson. I was this close to a clean getaway.
I can't let you off the hook. I mean, I'm crying the blues here. I want to hear what you're there.
Well,
what's it like?
Well. A couple of things. I hightailed it down to Monmouth on Thursday night after opening day. So I got, Friday, and I did the show Friday from Monmouth, and Saturday, we had the Haskell day that had a pulse, 3,500, and it. At least there were some people, you could look at, and there was some cheering, and there was that. So that was that made me feel good, just being at between being at Belmont, leading up to Belmont Stakes Day, and opening day at Saratoga, and then this thing at Monmouth. But the lack of energy, the it's not that people are going through the motions. That's an unfair characterization, because everybody's putting in the same dedication and, you know, the same, you know, the same emotion, you know, to get horses ready and to, you know, to win and be successful. And players are putting in that emotion from wherever they're playing. But it doesn't take or completely offset the sterility. We ran opening day, Sean, and but we didn't run well, and we got in trouble in the first turn, and the race was kind of over. But still, the anticipation was there, and then, you know, not being able to absorb and you know, kind of relay the, you know, the excitement, the energy, and everything. It's a unusual experience, and ideally we won't have to experience it much, you know, going forward. I mean, the sooner that the crowds can start to fill out and you know, get to a higher, higher percentage of filling the buildings, I think it'll all come back. But is the business good? Yes. Are bills getting paid? Yes. Is it everything that we anticipate and look forward to? No, it's not. It's just, you got to be honest on that front.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's good. I mean, from afar, it's kind of what you'd expect, and how it looks from here. You know, it's, again, you just kind of hope and wait for it to come back, and then you got to appreciate it even more, I guess, when you do, when it comes back to Saratoga, as we know and love.
Sean Clancy,
don't take my keys.
We will see you when you're coming up.
I don't know. I just got to decide. I mean, I'll definitely come up at some stage. You know, right now, Miles, my 11-year-old son, he's playing baseball and helping coach his team. So that's fun, and I'm enjoying that. And you know, but I'll definitely get there at some stage. I just got to figure out when, and when it feels right, I guess, is the question. But it'll be, you know, it definitely happens. So hopefully we can at least wave from a social distance, right, and enjoy Saratoga.
Yeah, you going down to Colonial at all, too? You got some running down there?
I have a horse running there Monday in a hurdle race, which I'm looking forward to. But, you know, same thing. They're not allowing fans. And, you know, it's just to go. I mean, to go to the races, you try to, you know, drive all the way down there and can't, you know, you can't go to the, I mean, I'm wishing and jonesing for the races, but I'm not sure how much I'm wishing for the races without any friends and fans, and we can't make a bet or get a drink or enjoy the races as you knew it, as you've done your whole life. I'm not sure anybody's looking forward to that. I mean, if you're the, you know what I mean? I think that's the part that's just a little strange, you know. I mean, if you could go racing as you know and love, I mean, if I could go and, you know, Saratoga or Colonial or wherever, and I'd go in a heartbeat. I mean, I'd move mountains to go to the races, but to go to the races in the atmosphere that's out there right now and the environment, it's not appealing. It's not very appealing. You know, that's the part that's tricky.
Who's running? Just pulling up Colonial's Monday card. Who are you running?
Lemonade Thursday. He runs in the second hurdle race, which is, they run early. I think it starts like at 4. I think it's 4 and 4:30.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a little strange, and I couldn't quite figure out the overnight. They have them as the last two races, but there's two hurdle races on Monday. Hopefully, you know, probably the winners of those, I mean, they'd be kind of key races for Saratoga later, so the winners of those would probably come up there for the numbers of two later in the meet. So, see if we can get qualified, maybe come up there.
Well, and I'm just looking. Lemonade Thursday off the hurdling debut. This was a Arnaud Delacour runner, and certainly he's got speed to take to the flat track hurdling.
Yeah, I hope so. His debut was pretty good. He was. We just kind of needed to get a race under his belt, kind of get him jumping and learn how to run and jump for 2 miles, which he did. He made a little run at the end. So I think he'll run well. I hope he'll run well. I bought the horse as a yearling, actually, at Saratoga, so I've always loved the horse. So hopefully he'll improve a little from his first start and kind of start his career going in this direction.
Two very nice maiden special weights on Monday to close out the card, and those that appreciate some of the thoroughbreds that make their move over. Lunaire going to try again, his third time jumping for Woods Lane, and of course Tom Albertrani had him for a good long, successful flat career, made 26 starts, I guess, on the flat, and the brother of Sadler's Joy. So,
they're good. I mean, if you look through the form, you look through the form of a jump race, I mean, those like snap decisions. I mean, look at who he was running against in the flat. I mean, it's just unbelievable the quality of the horses now run over jumps. When you look at horses, I mean, you just go through the buyers in a jump race. I mean, the race at Colonial, Seeking Albert ran a 90 buyer. Lunaire ran a 90 buyer. Lemonade Thursday, I think he might have run a 99, actually. Yeah, he ran a 99 buyer in a 2-0 event at Mama. I mean, it's just crazy numbers. They're good horses and just doing something different, which is fun. As we always say, it's a good second career for some of these horses. Those horses, Lemonade Thursday and Lunaire, they've just gone through conditions and they're going to struggle. They're probably not, and they proved that they're not
stake
horses on the flat. And but they can be productive, and hopefully they'll be productive in this sport and productive in another sphere after that. I mean, maybe a show jumping or eventing or fox hunting or something. So that's the game plan, and as I kind of touched on before. I mean, none of my partners have complained, whined, worried about this year. They've stayed the course, and it's a real kind of a credit to our sport and people who are real sportsmen and just trying to get through a tough time because these horses employ a lot of people and. You got to keep everybody, try to keep everything going. And so that part's cool. That's been interesting to kind of see people's reactions to a crisis. And, hopefully we can get back. Hopefully we'll get back going. Hopefully we can come up to Saratoga. Hopefully life will get back. I don't want it to go back to normal. I mean, I'd like life to go back to a sense of normalcy, but maybe with a little less, negativity or a little less, strife and worry and concern. Not that our politics is helping that, our political situation, but we better not get into politics this morning. But hopefully our sport can bounce back, life can bounce back.
Sean Clancy, and you follow Sean by Sean Clancy and the Saratoga Special. Make sure you can, which was originally Sean's handle before he gave it up toward the paper, and this is horseracing.com, and can't find it on the newsstand distribution racks, but it's on your phone, it's on your laptop, and